Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
Do you know, Joe, what do your oven and my computer have in common?
They both are fried. Both are burned up.
Not
both
quite.
Both are not working properly.
No.
Both are older than sin.
No.
Never
mind.
Okay.
We'll get to it in a moment. After we talk about national holidays.
I know. Cherry pie.
Okay. No.
Okay.
The way your mind works.
You know.
Yeah, scares me.
Bake 'em and nuke 'em.
For the week of September 25th through October 1st, the 25th of September is National Comic Book Day. Did you get comic books when you were a kid? Did you collect them?
You know, I did.
Yeah.
And like always, my mother threw them out.
Oh, that's sad. The 27th is Crush a Can Day. Just stop right there. 29th of September, and this is important, Confucius Day. Try your luck. Get a fortune cookie.
Confucius Day.
Confucius Day.
October is Eat Country Ham Month.
Because you don't want to eat city ham.
Oh, no. City ham. Just oh.
Suburban ham.
Ooh. It's also Awareness Month.
Yeah. Now, I had to read that again.
Awareness Month?
Awareness Month. Like, I thought there was a word missing. Like, maybe it was, you know.
So you were AWOL
like,
on the AWARY.
Like Leaf Awareness Month? No, it's
awareness
just, it's
month.
To celebrate all the months that have awareness tacked to them. You're just supposed to be aware of awareness.
So if I'm aware of awareness, no.
No.
Never mind. It's also Cookie Month.
It's Cookie Month, yay!
Cookie
and
Monster.
And we were not here last week, so we missed it. October 13th was Fortune Cookie Day.
Fortune Cookie Day?
Yes, this day celebrates the creation of the fortune cookie. What a great cookie. Mm-hmm. A little slip of paper inside of it brings you good luck, a whimsical saying, or a philosophical thought. We kind of favor good luck because right here we can use all we can get.
Trust me on that one.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty clear that the fortune cookie did not originate in China. Rather, it was invented in California. Figures. There appears to be some uncertainty over who invented it. Some historical references suggest it was Makoda Hagiwara who invented the fortune cookie at the Japanese Tea Garden in San Francisco in 1914. Others believe that David Jung, founder of the Hong Kong Noodle Company, was the first to make the fortune cookies in Los Angeles in or around the 1920s.
To celebrate this day, go grab a handful of fortune cookies or get your fill online, because online cookies are no calorie, no carb.
Almond.
Yeah.
Nummy. Birthdays this month from HolidayInsights.com. Ah, yes, September 25th, 1947, Cheryl Teagues, model.
Bet she couldn't have any of those things.
Not if she wanted to keep her girly figure.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes, also, October 1st, 1935, Miss Julie Andrews, Mary Poppins, and The Sound of Music.
I loved Mary Poppins. Now, she was a housekeeper in both of those movies. Do you think she baked?
I would say she was hot. Off the oven.
Okay.
Quick side note. You know she was not the original person to be in Mary Poppins?
No?
She was not. She was the second fiddle.
Oh.
The first person, and now I forget, who was originally offered the job, said no, she couldn't do it.
Oh. Huh. Well, they made a good choice.
Interesting thing. I always thought she was Walt Disney's first choice, but she kept turning it down. Because she was waiting for the part of Eliza Doolittle for the movie version of My Fair Lady, and she didn't get that, then Walt sucked her into this.
Yeah, there was a... When you get the extended DVD video, they talk about in all of the things that went into the making of that movie, and one of the things that she was not the first night. And I'm trying to remember the actress who was the original target, and then it became Julie Andrews. So just one of those little things.
That voice from under the table was Dave, our wonderful producer, because he knows everything there is to know about movies. But you know what? Our theme is not movies today. Lest you get
It's cookies, confused. Microwaves, and ovens.
Close.
This day in history.
Yeah.
From HolidayInsights.com.
Yes.
September 25th, 1981. Sandra Day O'Connor became the first female Supreme Court Justice.
She was a smart cookie.
Yeah. September 26, 1789, the U.S. Postal Service was founded. That was a mistake. It wasn't meant on purpose.
That's right.
September 30th, 1902, rayon is patented. October 1st, 1959, the television series The Twilight Zone premieres.
And you know what this has to do with the theme of this week?
Scary movies?
Nothing. This does have nothing to do with this week's theme.
I was about to say, if there was some sort of theme in here, I missed it.
No, no. Do you know what this theme is, though? Were you listening carefully?
You know, you've knocked my cookies off the table. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Cookies. C is for cookie. Yeah. Our curious saying for this week is...
Speaking of Jim Henson.
Snickerdoodle. One of my favorite cookies. This is from a really lovely little blog called AmyElizasBlogspot.com. It's a crash course in living La Vita Italiano from the inside out. She had great stuff on here.
Elvis Presley.
Sure.
Okay.
No, that's Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
La Vita Italiana.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, this is her speaking. I'm just going to read what she wrote. I was struck again yesterday by the inexplicable conglomeration of words and phrases that constitutes English. The most recent occasion of this all too frequently etymology perplexity was making snickerdoodle cookies for Thanksgiving. I was almost certain that no snickerdoodle cookies I had ever had Snickers in them. But just to be sure, I asked my friend, fully expecting a negative answer. They don't have Snickers in them, do they?
No, of course they don't. This is English.
So where does this misleading name come from? We guessed that it might be Scandinavian, something like Snickerdoden. I have no idea if that even sounds Scandinavian, but whatever, it's fun to say. As for the meaning, the only explanation we could come up with was that they make you laugh or snicker.
After a brief consultant from the Oracle Google, we came up with a few possibilities. Here's what Wikipedia has to say. Nobody's sure what either the cookie or its name originated. Various food historians have shown that biscuits and cookies similar to the snickerdoodle have been recorded in the ancient Rome era and in medieval Europe. I'm doing good today. In Renaissance England, a cookie called a jumble was popular in the cuisine. Later, Germans were known to have added more spices and a variety of dried fruits, eventually evolving into the gingerbread cookie. Cookbooks from the 18th and 19th centuries have also contained recipes compared to the snickerdoodle.
The origin of the name snickerdoodle has given rise to many theories, but few facts. The Joy of Cooking claims that snickerdoodles are probably German in origin, and that the name is a corruption of the German word for snail dumpling, which is schneckendoodlen, or cinnamon-dusted sweet roll. Similarly, one author states the word snicker may have come from a Dutch word, snickrad, or the German word schneck, both describing a snail-like shape.
The word of the day, schnick.
However, another author believes the name came from a New England tradition of fanciful, whimsical cookie names, and yet another cites a series of tall tales around a hero named Snickerdoodle from the early 1900s.
Now, personally, the last explanation is my favorite, and I think it's just as likely for the simple reason that none of the possibilities make sense. A snail shape?
Yeah.
Schneck. Have you ever seen a snickerdoodle?
Not snail-shaped.
Shall we go snipe hunting? In fact, there's an entire children's series by Otis Humm from the early 1900s, clearly predating all modern superheroes, based on the hero Snickerdoodle, who rides around in a peanut mobile. Snickerdoodle is called the tiny pre-runner to Superman.
Wow.
Of all the things I never knew.
Do you know what snickerdoodles have in them that other cookies don't?
No.
Cream of tartar. It's the only thing that makes them a snickerdoodle. No other cookie.
Why would you put a fish...
No, not tartar sauce. Cream of tartar.
Oh.
Moving on. My great-grandmother used to tell me and my siblings a story about Superman with special powers who helped kids who were in trouble. He knew that when they needed him and would come to their aid in mysterious ways or unexpected ways. He was known as the Doodle Man. Kind of sounds silly now. And he would leave a trail of sparkly cinnamon and sugar after he visited you. I used to go to my great-grandmother's when I was sad, and she always made me cookies and told me about the Doodle Man and one of his adventures.
I believe the point of the story was that the Snickerdoodles, the Doodle Man, and whomever was telling you the story and baking the cookie was actually cheering you up, thus helping you.
Oh, okay. So, what does your oven and my computer have in common?
You know, I give up.
They both contain cookies. Now, I've always wondered why cookies are called cookies, the kind that you get on your computer when you go to a website. From wikianswers.com, when you log into a website, the site puts a file on your computer called a cookie. Why is it called a cookie, Joe? Why? Is it tasty? It's not tasty.
The name cookies comes from fortune cookie because of the hidden information inside.
Oh, is that cool how things just kind of come around circle, full circle? Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And guess what we have? We have a top five list from top5.com.
Six.
The top six worst fortune cookie messages to which to append the word in bed. Did you ever do that when you get a fortune cookie and you read the fortune and then you're supposed to put in bed at the end?
No.
You've never done that? You've heard of doing that?
No.
You've never heard of doing that?
Only you
can. Oh, come on, folks.
Never.
Well, we're going to try it here.
So everything we're
maybe
saying...
Maybe it's Italian.
Everything we're going to say, we have to add the words in bed.
At the end.
Okay.
Okay. The top six worst fortune cookie messages to which you will append the words in bed at the end. Six, your ancestors watch over you.
In bed.
Yes.
Any day can be Mother's Day.
In bed. Oh. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck in bed.
You will soon, number three, you will soon visit previously unexplored places.
In bed. A vast fortune in gold and the favors of my two beautiful daughters are yours if you can only resist the temptation to append something stupid to the end of this fortune.
In bed. And the number one worst fortune cookie message to which to append the words in bed.
Help! I'm being held prisoner in a Chinese fitted sheet factory.
In bed.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, life was good for you in the past, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. In bed?
In bed, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't believe you never heard that.
No.
Okay, well.
In all my world travels, I've never.
If you've heard that you put in bed at the end of your fortune cookie, please call Dave Binkley soon.
You can email or write. Oh, sorry.
Yes, I found dumb criminal news on dumbcriminals.com about cookies.
Oh, cool.
Yes, this one is called An Unfortunate Cookie. One of life's little lessons. You might want to take notes here, Joe.
Writing.
Sometimes it's best not to reach for the last cookie.
Not in my house.
No. In Tulsa, according to the Associated Press, police caught the burglar of several Chinese restaurants after they caught him with some of their fortune cookies. Where's your lucky number when you need them? Police responded to a burglar alarm at one Chinese restaurant and then another one just down the street soon after they arrived at the scene. The suspect later told police he couldn't help himself. As soon as he finished robbing the one Chinese restaurant, he had this uncontrollable urge to rob another one. Officers found the man not far from the scene with fortune cookies from both restaurants. He was taken into custody and is cooperating with the authorities. In I can't even say it. In bed.
Wow. Ah. You added that
I
in
just
there.
Blew that, didn't yes, I? No, yes. It was written like this from dumbcriminals.com. I did not add that.
Do-si-dos. It's that time of year again. Girl Scout cookies. Millions of cute little brats are roaming the streets with their diabetic disc in one hand and their bag of loose change and cash in the other. And you know what that means. Girl Scout cookies robberies.
And I gain weight.
According to the Associated Press, a girl stole another Girl Scout's cookie money. But don't fret. The girl got caught because she filled out the cookie order with her name and address before she split with the cash on her bicycle. How much you want to bet she spelled her name wrong?
Oh.
The unidentified girl denied stealing money, even though they had her name and address, and the Girl Scout identified her. The girl did order four boxes of Thin Mints, though.
That's to make up for the one she stole?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my. We have a couple jokes here from jokesforall.net. It's jokes numeral four, all.net.
Oh, this is going to be bad. I can feel it coming.
No.
All right.
The children were lined up in the cafeteria of a Catholic elementary school for lunch. At the head of the table was a large pile of apples. The nun made a note and posted it on the apple tray. Take only one. God is watching. Moving further along the lunch line, at the other end of the table was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. A child had written a note, take all you want. God's watching the apples.
But
Ta-da.
Here's a question for you, Kat.
Yes?
How can you tell that a blonde's been baking chocolate chip cookies?
I don't know. How can you tell?
There's M&M shells all over the floor. I'm just reading it, folks. Don't send hate mail about this to me, all right?
And do you know what Magic Johnson said after his little problem a few years ago?
Okay.
I'd like to thank my wife, Cookie, for being by my side without crumbling.
Point of view.
Yes.
From crack.com.
Yes.
All right.
And this is now an editorial comment from crack.com. Please note that the views expressed here are those of the website, not the reader, nor the radio station, nor Dave.
Oreos are the greatest single cookie on the planet. They not only can topple empires with their creamy filling, but also are enabled to make anything with an Oreo logo sell like, well, Oreos.
Just the facts here. Over 500 billion Oreo cookies have been sold since they were first introduced in 1912, making them the best-selling cookie of the 20th century. The annual Oreo cookie recipe calls for 18 million pounds of cocoa and 47 million pounds of cream filling. Delicious, delicious cream filling. Oreo's recipe used to use pork fat, otherwise known as lard, to create the cream filling.
The name.
Mm.
No one is quite sure how the Oreo got its name. Theories abound, from the Greek root for appetizing, or as in orexin or orexigenic aptitude. I got through the first word.
Appetite stimulating.
Or anorexic. And or exic, loss of appetite. The re from cream was sandwiched between the two O's from the cookie. Of course, the real truth is that the makers knew that they had such an amazing piece of awesomeness that they just threw a bunch of sounds together and went on with making cookies.
A TV spot for Got Milk campaign showed a false etymology where, when at a board meeting to decide the name of the cookie, one of the members is asked for his opinion. The member who just had eaten a cookie and doesn't have any milk to wash it down responds,
I don't know,
which is heard by the board member as Oreo. This proves once again advertisers are idiots and convinced that everyone works in offices. After spreading lies about the best darn cookie on the planet, they moved on to annoying us with cavemen.
Do you know what I like about Oreo cookies?
What?
Taking the Oreo stuffed doubles.
Oh.
Splitting them and making them a quad.
Oh.
Love that
cookie.
That's
just evil.
Get rid of the top and bottom.
You know how I thought they got the name?
No.
Two guys were working in the kitchen trying to make these things.
Uh-huh.
And one of them, the one guy's name was Ree. Oh, Ree! Oh! Oh, Ree! Oh, taste this cookie. I just made that up right there.
And I like it because it almost makes sense. Uh-huh. Oh, Ree!
Yes.
Oh. Oh, wait a minute. It must have been in Canada.
Oreo.
Oh.
It would be A Rio.
Yeah, no. A Oreo. Canada, eh? No. World's best and baddest. In a bid not to be arrogant about being so much better than every other cookie on the planet, Oreo has changed its slogan to Milk's Favorite Cookie from the original America's Favorite Cookie. This follows the M&M logic of yeah, baby. When you are so good that you can't say it because it ain't even cool for you to sound cocky anymore.
That made no sense to me.
Though. No, that's like, what?
I know. Anyway, the cookie itself. The average original Oreo is 1 3/4 inches in diameter and 0.314961 inches tall, which is strangely similar to pie, which is 3.14159, leading this writer to speculate that Oreo is a front organization for the Illuminati. This is yet another dimension of the world-dominating potential of this irresistible cream-filled delicacy, the Oreo.
An Oreo sandwich is 71% cream, 29% cookie. The Oreo has been kosher since 1998, changing after political pressure was put on it after the cookie was overheard saying, "What am I, religion? Everyone should be praising me. Think how much better communion wafers would be if they were my chocolate flesh smothered with delicious cream." These comments created an initial backlash, but after kosherifying his ingredients, the world once again loved Oreo, even with his enormous ego.
Okay, we're done here. Amongst its list of attributes, the Oreo is considered the only foodstuff which your grandma will happily agree with you is better than her cooking, the only cookie you wouldn't make at home because, hey, you can't, and who messes with perfection, and the only food you wouldn't dream of sharing with anyone at all, ever, because the Oreo is a sacred object. If the 1900s have anything to brag about, it's that monochromatic little Oreo sandwich. Mm-hmm.
Well, it now looks like it's time for the weekly rant.
Yeah.
From crack.com.
I'm liking this segment.
And strangely, it's all pink.
It's all pink, which means I'm reading it.
Stand by. Stand by.
Pop culture was almost killed. No, pop culture almost killed Cookie Monster. I know, I love Cookie Monster. Sesame Street is a television program aimed at young children and those of us unable to count to 10. Joe, it provides fun educational outlet for kids. And I swear to God, if those PBS producers interrupt Sesame Street one more time to beg for money, someone is going to die. Just the facts. Sesame Street originated in the late 1960s and has been running strong ever since. It's always good to trust a gigantic yellow bird. Mm-hmm. And don't look at us like that. You know everything about Sesame Street and you know it. Don't look at me like that. Okay, Joe.
Oh, I was just thinking, allow me to interject here.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to trust a big yellow bird than a pink elephant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or a Snuffleupagus. There was a time that children remember fondly. It was a time when Cookie Monster had an unhealthy addiction to the type of baked goods known as a cookie. Though it appeared harmless on screen, it created tension on the set. Actors and members of the film crew often complained about Cookie Monster showing up late for unexplained reasons.
No.
A search for the Cookie Monster always ended up in his trailer, with a mountain of cookie crumbs surrounding a blue figure strung out on oatmeal raisin.
Oh my.
As time passed, it only got more and more out of hand. There were near-fatal overdoses on more than one occasion. Finally, after the turn of the new millennium, a way out presented itself. The rising obesity rates in children prompted the producers of Sesame Street to showcase more healthy eating habits. Cookie Monster would have to quit cookies. Thankfully, after extensive therapy and counseling, CM was successful. To date, his diet has expanded to contain foods that are not cookies, such as carrots and lettuce, and is still able to enjoy the occasional cookie without falling back on his old habits.
Tragic.
I know. Do you know?
Next, I'll steal the drums from Animal.
We talked a little bit about fortune cookies and where they came from.
Yeah,
you don't want to know the whole fortune cookie background thing?
Let's crack this rascal open and read the inside.
Okay. Well, we talked. That was good. The history of the fortune cookie is contentious, and many a cookie has crumbled over this topic.
Ooh.
I had presumed that fortune cookies were invented by the Chinese and were steeped in some ancient tradition. What a surprise I got. I actually found a website called ChineseFortuneCookie.com.
Are you ready, folks?
Yes. The Chinese fortune cookie is not even Chinese. I think we already talked about that.
Yes.
It was introduced to the Chinese, and they were advertised as genuine American fortune cookies.
Yeah.
And we talked about how David Young might have been the one that invented them, and then Makoto Hiwagari.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but there's another theory.
Okay. Way back in the 13th and 14th century, China was occupied by the Mongols. Xu Yan Cheng, a patriotic revolutionary of the time, made plans for an uprising against the Mongols. In order to instruct all the Chinese of the date of the uprising, messages were hidden in half cakes or moon cakes. Moon cakes contained a yolk of lotus paste, which the Mongols did not appreciate, so the yolk was replaced with rice paper messages. The uprising was successful, and the Ming Dynasty was born. Thus, a tradition of giving cakes with messages was born in a moon festival regular celebration. It is thought that this legend is what inspired the Chinese 49ers who worked on the construction of the Great American Railways through the Sierra Nevada in California. At moon festival time, they did not have any more moon cakes, but only biscuits. So out of the necessity, they improvised, and the fortune cookie was born.
And there you have it.
Bada-bing.
And from justjokes.com,
jokes.
We have some fortune cookie fortunes. We're going to crack this one open now, finally.
Man who run in front of car get tired.
Man who run behind car get exhausted.
Man with one chopstick go hungry.
Man who eat many prunes get good run for money.
War doesn't determine who is right. War determine who is left.
A man who drive like hellbound is bound to get there.
Man who stand on toilet is high on pot.
Man who lives in glass house should change clothes in basement.
from funnyandjokes.com. Funnyandjokes.com. Yep. One of the best things about eating Chinese food is that the fortune cookie you will get at the end of your meal. Often insightful, normally we get stuff, you will succeed through your charm and personality. Well, not today. Here are some of the funny or unlucky fortunes you hope you will never or never open.
Help, I'm being held prisoner in a Chinese bakery.
Guess what our special drop was in the egg drop soup and win a free meal.
Your colon will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Only a fool would look to cookies for words of wisdom.
A recent prison escapee that is sitting nearby wants to love you a long time.
Your dog Sparky, well, no, he's no longer missing.
Ew. See the waiter about our new food poison life insurance policies.
You will need good reading material. You will... You will need good reading material in approximately 15 minutes.
And can you imagine cracking open a cookie and having it say, please don't eat me, I love you. Oh, my goodness. I have another top five list.
All right.
These are fun. This is top 16.
Five.
16. Cookies in hell from top5.com.
Cookies
the first
in hell.
One is Snickerpoodles.
Number 15, ladies' fingers.
Number 14, sugar-free, fat-free, gluten-free, high-fiber, vegan, soy-based, free, Tibet mealy flavorless hunks of packing material with sprinkles.
Number 13, Lorna Dooms.
Number 12, Reverend Sun My Young Moon Pies.
Number 11.
Asparagus.
Yeah, asparagus wafers.
I didn't write it. I just typed it.
Oh, bad.
Number 10, open Sorios.
Number 9, pentagram crackers.
Which cannot be undone by number 8, salmonella wafers.
And, of course, number 7, Sin Mint.
Followed by number 6, Soul House cookies.
And, of course, the most ever popular, number 5, Wayne Newton's.
And number 4, the cookies made by Heinous Amos.
Number 3, Misfortune cookies.
And number 2, a swift kick in the Nutter Butters.
And the number 1 cookie in hell?
Your Krispy Treats. Love them. Love them.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, they say that there's no crying over spilt milk.
Exactly.
And in ruminations.com from ruminate.com. I've found, however, that if you cry loudly enough and long enough, people will feel sorry for you and get you more milk.
There's no use crying over spilled milk unless it's really sour and you spilled it in your eye.
That's right.
Bad.
So we have time for what we usually wrap up with, and that would be
good old Irish
Chinese
blessing.
Fortune.
Chinese.
We don't have Irish blessings, so we have Chinese fortunes.
All right.
From fortunecookies.com.
Good.
He who throws dirt is losing ground.
Do not mistake temptation for opportunity.
The greatest danger could be your stupidity.
He who laughs at himself never runs out of things to laugh at.
He who laughs last is laughing at you.
A closed mouth gathers no feet.
A cynic is only a frustrated optimist.
A fanatic is one who can't change his mind and won't change the subject.
And the world may be your oyster, but it doesn't mean you'll get its pearl. Okay, so let's try this again, Joe. What do your oven and my computer have in common?
Absolutely nothing. I love it.
That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Kat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week.
I'm flat broke, but I don't care. I strut right by with my tail in the air.